Welcome to AI Goes to College, the podcast that helps higher education professionals navigate the changes brought on by generative AI. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Van Slyke. The podcast is a companion to the AI Goes to College newsletter. You can sign up for the newsletter at aigoestocollege.com/newsletter. Welcome to Episode 5 of AI Goes to College. In this week's episode, I talk about why you need a human in the loop, new functions for ChatGPT teams, my alma mater starting a new college, some solid advice from OpenAI's chief operating officer, using AI to prepare a panel report, speech in ChatGPT, and I wrap up with SlideSpeak, which is a promising new way to quickly prepare slides from a document. Let me start off with my rant of the week about why you need a human in the loop. It's critical to have a human review any output from generative AI about anything that's important. You've probably heard me say this before, and you're probably going to hear me say it again. This was really driven home to me in kind of a humorous way not too long ago. I was having a session with some doctoral students and former doctoral students. We were talking about generative AI and how I really wanted to find a tool that would help me create slides quickly and easily. Beautiful AI, that's beautiful.ai, is close. Doesn't do quite what I want. I've talked about that before. But it does produce some really nice looking slides. So I thought, well, let's just try an experiment. I asked Beautiful AI's AI generator to come up with a slide deck related to relational databases. That test went pretty well. The slide deck was nice. The Beautiful AI slides really are nice looking. And it was comprehensive, so I thought, well, let me see if I can dig into this a little bit more. And I asked it to create a slide deck for database normalization. Without getting too technical, database normalization is just how you reduce unnecessary redundancies in a database so that you don't have inconsistent information. It's a process you go through to make sure that you kind of only store data once. It did a decent job, except for the title slide. The title slide was a somewhat offensive representation of a man lighting up a blunt, a marijuana cigar. It was kind of a bad image. Didn't show the person's face, but it showed finger tattoos like the ones you sometimes see in prison movies. There was a gold Rolex-looking watch, and the ethnicity of the person in the image seemed to be a person of color. Well, it took us a minute. But one of my doctoral students and I saw his face light up at the same time it clicked. For some reason, Beautiful AI thought that I wanted a slide deck that had something to do with NORML. NORML is an organization that's been pushing for a long time for the legalization of marijuana. Nothing wrong with that, but not really what I was looking for. So what if I had just kind of blindly used these slides in class? My guess is my students are probably a little bit more current than I am, and many of them would have immediately recognized what was going on in that title slide. That would have been bad enough. I would have been a little bit embarrassed. But here's the possibility I might have discouraged some enthusiastic students if they thought I had that sort of an impression of their particular ethnic or demographic group. That could have been really, really bad. Now, all it took was about 30 seconds to realize that that was not an appropriate title slide. You really ought to take a look at the slide in the newsletter. It's kind of amusing. The newsletter is available at aigoestocollege.com/newsletter. It is pretty funny, but it could have been really bad. So the message here is, if it's important, if it's anything that the public is going to see, anything your boss is going to see, anything your students are going to see, make sure that whatever AI comes up with is subject to human review. Keep that human in the loop. I know that's not optimally efficient in some ways, but it's really necessary. All right, let's move on to some generative AI news. One of the news items was some new functions for ChatGPT teams. ChatGPT teams is I don't want to call it an add-on. It's kind of an option for a subscription where you can have multiple people under one shared subscription. I use it with some of my doctoral students. It doesn't really save you much money, but it does give you some larger limits in terms of your conversation. So it's worth checking out if you haven't already looked at it. So the new features were some better chat sharing, which is nice because it's a team product. There's a GPT builder version history, which probably doesn't matter to most people. A nice feature is that you can see ratings and starter prompts in the GPT store. The GPT store is where custom GPTs, which are specialized versions of the ChatGPT chatbot, where those are available. And it's been a little bit of a wild west so far. So these ratings and starter prompts may be a good way to kind of cull out some of the bad and just focus in on the good GPTs. Also adds multi-factor authentication as an option. But the one that I thought was kind of fun is some image generation options. So what you can do is when you use DALL-E as an image generator, you get some style options down at the bottom. It's kind of hard to describe this, but if you go to the newsletter, you'll see screenshots. And you can choose noir style or impressionist style or cartoon style or crayon style, and there are a bunch of others. And you can also choose the aspect ratio. So basically, do you want it square, kind of landscape, or do you want it portrait? And that's pretty handy. It doesn't really do much. It just adds a few more words. Like the example I tried was a prompt that said, a loud goat disturbing customers in a coffee shop with its loud bleating. And when I clicked on the selection for style and aspect ratio, ChatGPT just added folk art and widescreen aspect ratio to my prompt. The image it created was kind of funny, so you can go to the newsletter and check that out. The other news item I wanted to mention is that my alma mater, where I earned my PhD, recently announced that it's forming a new college, the College of Artificial Intelligence, Cybersecurity, and Computing. They're very early in the process. They haven't even decided if there's going to be a separate dean for this college. But there are some pretty smart people on the advisory board, so I have no reason to believe that it won't be successful. Although I'm not sure what I think about having a whole separate college for this. I don't know. Is it just more administrative overhead that's really not necessary? I don't know. Time will tell, but I do wish them the best of luck. It is my alma mater. It's a good school. I got a great education there. All right, let's move on to tips of the week. One of my favorite AI newsletters, the Neuron, that's N-E-U-R-O-N, in a recent issue, had a short mention of some remarks from Brad Lightcap, who's the chief operating officer at OpenAI. That's who makes ChatGPT. He gave some very solid advice for business leaders who are kind of confused about how to make AI useful. The article quoted him as saying 90% of the value comes from giving people access to the tool and not thinking too much about it. I think we do have a tendency to overthink any kind of technology tool sometimes, so I really like that bit of advice. The Neuron writers added some additional tips. Pay for the good stuff. Use ChatGPT Plus or Claude Pro, both of which are $20 per user per month. This upgrade is like going from black and white to life in full color. I would add Gemini Advanced to that list, by the way. Give permission and time, not just access. Encourage people to take the space to experiment, learn, and share findings. And then finally, start small and iterate. Just try one little task at a time. That's all very solid advice. It applies to just about everybody who's trying to use ChatGPT or any other generative AI tool, and it applies to higher ed professionals as well. But I want to add a few things. I think you need to develop a tolerance for failed smart experiments. Experiments fail. That's just the nature of experiments. In fact, most experiments fail. The important thing is to make sure that the experiments are well thought out and will cause minimal harm if they fail. That brings me to the second point. Include human review to mitigate risks. I know I've already said this once. AI will do dumb stuff. That's just the nature of the underlying model, so it's important to make sure that an actual live person reviews output before it gets put into use. AI can help cut the workload dramatically sometimes, but pushing the workload to zero may be a false savings. Finally, find champions and leverage grassroots diffusion. If you're a leader who wants to take advantage of generative AI, one of the best things you can do is find and support enthusiastic individuals who can champion AI use. These champions can help spread the use through what I call grassroots diffusion. That's just the informal spread of a technology more organically than something that's imposed from the top down. All right, here's another tip. I was recently on a very good panel. My fellow panelists were excellent at the Southern Association for Information Systems Conference in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Gulf Shores is really nice, by the way. If you haven't been there, you ought to check it out. And what we often do in my field is when we have a panel, we'll write a panel report and send it out to a journal. It's a little bit of a tedious process. Not too bad, but it's really important to get the ideas of these panels out beyond just the conference. So the first thing that I did was made sure that we recorded the session with everybody's permission. From that, I created a transcript. I took the recording, put it into a tool called Otter, that's OTTER.AI. It's a really good transcription tool, and they've added other functions to it as well. It produces about as accurate a transcript as you can get from AI. It also produces an outline of the transcript, and that can be pretty handy. They recently added chat functionality, so once the transcript was produced, I asked Otter to identify 5 to 10 themes from the discussion. The results were really pretty good. I did this right after the panel, so everything was kind of fresh in my mind. It's really good. So if you haven't checked out otter.ai, you ought to check it out. So the next thing I did is I took the transcript and put it into ChatGPT, Claude 3 Opus, and Gemini Advanced, because I wanted to see how each of them worked, and asked the tools to identify 6 to 8 themes from the panel. There were some differences, but they largely identified the same themes. Then next, I asked the chatbots to identify some open questions or some issues related to each theme. Again, the results were similar, but not identical. Next, I asked the chatbots to develop an agenda for the information systems academic community, an agenda related to the themes. I wanted the chatbot to structure the agenda around the themes and around the open issues that they identified earlier. So the results were more diverse here. ChatGPT and Claude came up with some reasonable but different agendas. Gemini kind of went off the rails and gave me an outline for a workshop, so I don't know what was going on there. I tried a little bit different approach with my prompting to get an agenda out of Gemini, and it gave me an agenda the second time. I was pretty happy with this overall. ChatGPT and Claude handled the task really well without much effort at all. I was especially impressed with Otter.ai. I think if I need to do something like this in the future, I might just use Otter's chatbot feature since the results were fine for my purposes. But here's an important caveat, especially for more serious uses such as preparing an article like we are. All 4 of the panelists are also going through the transcript to identify themes. At the end of the day, it's our work. So I think it's fine to get some insights from generative AI, but that's only one piece of the puzzle. We need to use our judgment and our intellect to exercise our collective judgment about what we should put into the article. AI is a useful tool. Sometimes it'll bring other perspectives to light, something that we might have missed. It's kind of like having another colleague provide a different point of view. But you don't just let the AI tools do the work for you. That's a mistake, especially if you're doing something like a work of scholarship. But anyway, I thought it was pretty good. You know, if you need meeting notes or if you just want to have an overview of some talk or YouTube video, you know, let generative AI do it. But if you're going to put your name on something, you don't want to just totally surrender the reins to a chatbot. Remember, it's your name that's going on it. All right, another little tip, and this one's been around for a while, it just hasn't much been on my radar, is there's speech available in ChatGPT. So this works two ways. You can talk to ChatGPT. There's a little microphone button on there, and it actually works really well. But it will also speak its output back to you. Like I said, this has been around for quite a while on the mobile app, but I only recently noticed on the browser version. I'm not sure exactly how to use this. I can see some uses for people that may have certain disabilities, but I'm not so sure that I see a personal use case for it right now. But the technology will only get better, and I'm sure some better uses than I can imagine right now will come to the light in the future. All right, I'm going to wrap up with something that's close to my holy grail, As I said earlier, I really want a tool where I can take a document, one that I've written usually, put it into AI, and have it actually create a draft of a presentation for me. All the slides, everything. There are lots of tools, even just ChatGPT or Claude or whichever one you're using, will take a document and give you the layout for the slides. But there really aren't many of them that do a good job of actually creating the slides. In fact, I haven't found one. I know there are some out there that are supposed to work, but in my experience, they really don't work that well. SlideSpeak, and that's slide, S-L-I-D-E, speak, S-P-E-A-K, comes really close. So basically, you upload a document, click on a few buttons, and it cranks out a slide deck for you. My initial tests were pretty satisfying, so I immediately did the annual subscription to it. Then I took it a bit further and uploaded an extended abstract that a colleague and I we're going to be doing a presentation at a conference later this month. Uploaded the document. You see the document in a chat window. I just out of curiosity used the chat window to ask for a bullet point summary of the document. That came out pretty well. But then you can click on a button that says Preview Presentation, and you get a screen that allows you to pick the length of the presentation, and they have like three categories with some range of numbers of slides, the language, and the tone. The tone is either unspecified, casual, professional, funny, educational, or sales pitch. And you can also tell SlideSpeak whether or not you want to add images or use your branding. I didn't play around with that. When you click on Next, SlideSpeak thanks for a while, and then you get a table of contents for the presentation, which is basically the outline that SlideSpeak will follow when it creates the presentation. Here's a big, big feature. You can edit the table of contents. That is very nice. So you can add some things. You can change the wording of some things. You can delete something. Once you get the table of contents down, you get a screen where you can choose between two pretty boring stock templates. They're fine. They're nothing very exciting. You can upload your own custom templates, but I haven't tried that yet. I was surprised. It only took about 30 seconds to create the presentation. I thought maybe this was because the document was really short, but I tried it again with a much longer document, with one that was a full journal article, and it still only took about 30 seconds to create the presentation. The slides are okay. I would say they're 60-75% there, but they had some odd design choices. A few of the image choices were just bizarre. I'm not going to go into details there, but they were just weird. I mean, they're easy enough to replace, but it was just kind of odd and off point. And then another problem was much of the text was way too small. It had text as small as 10 points on the slides. And I don't know why, because it wasn't that SlideSpeak was just packing the slides with text. Actually, it was pretty sparse, but it just made the text really, really small. Now, the images and making the text bigger, those are easy changes. So like I said, it gets you, I don't know, two-thirds, three-quarters of the way there. And so what might have taken an hour now takes 15 minutes. So I'm okay with that. I don't remember exactly what it cost. It's about $20 a month. But if you do a lot of presentations, this could be a really good tool, especially if you take the time to upload your own templates. If you do a lot of presentations, especially a lot of them that are either short notice or they're based on some document that's already out there, I can see this being a totally worthwhile investment. So, like I said, it's not quite my holy grail, but it's getting there and I'm encouraged. What I really want is a combination of beautiful AI and SlideSpeak. That would be kind of the ultimate to me. All right, that's all I have for you this time. Thank you very much. The newsletter has a lot more detail. It has screenshots and images and that sort of thing. So I really would encourage you to subscribe to the newsletter. You really should. Just go to aigoestocollege.com/newsletter, and that'll take you to a link where you can subscribe. If you go to aigoestocollege.com, you can also click on any of the past episodes. There's a way you can share the podcast with others, which I would very much appreciate. And as always, thank you very much, and I will talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to AI Goes to College. If you found this episode useful, you'll love the AI Goes to College newsletter. Each edition brings you useful tips, news, and insights that you can use to help you figure out what in the world is going on with generative AI and how it's affecting higher ed. Just go to AIGoesToCollege.com to sign up. I won't try to sell you anything, and I won't spam you or share your information with anybody else. As an incentive for subscribing, I'll send you the Getting Started with Generative AI guide. Even if you're an expert with AI, you'll find the guide useful for helping your less knowledgeable colleagues.